That was great to hear from them, and you know, we're all about the kids here and the youth here and building up the church. And you know, at Family Fellowship, we are a family, and we love to hear stories, we love to hear testimonies, we love to hear how they're getting better in Christ and how they're growing and building in Christ. And as a family in this church, we have to remind them and do things with them as well to teach them, remind them ways. And God made that very clear in Deuteronomy 6. And he said, repeat them again and again to your children in his commandments. When he was talking to the Israelites, he said, when you're at home, when you're going to bed, when you get up, when you're on the road, teach them to your children. And we want to do that as a church. And also, I haven't said this enough, but I want to say this. We will never, ever turn away any child. Any child, from any situation, from any walk of life, doesn't matter. We will never turn them away. We will never discourage a child to come up and speak here. We'll never discourage a child expressing how they feel, whether it be good or bad. We will never do that. Because Jesus shunned the disciples whenever they thought that they were bothering Jesus. You know, in Mark 10, verse 13, their parents were bringing their children to Jesus and he was blessing them. And the disciples tried to put them away, but you know what Jesus did? He became upset. And he said in verse 14, let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. And he said, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And then he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on his head and he blessed the children. So I just want to say, as your pastor, we value children. And we're so excited to hear back from more. We have some more that are at camp now. And so once we get them all back, we want them to share. We want them to just feel welcomed here. And as a church, we build them up. And we pray over them. And we remind them as a family. And I just want to say I'm so proud from VBS. It was just such a great thing. All the things that were involved. It's just great. And that ties into the sermon, which is what we've been talking about, which is know God and show God. We've been talking about how you have to have faith, you have to believe in Christ, but you also got to show who Christ is to others. Last week we said you have to walk and talk both in your relationship with God. You have to. You can believe all you want, but people are not going to know until you show it to them through the right way. Great example is this, is the picture I'm showing you now. This picture is of all the volunteers at VBS. What a great picture. We have, I believe, 19 people and we're missing one. And I want to tell you something right now, folks. I've said this over and over again, but this could not have been done just by me, just by two or three. Everyone had to be able to be involved and help the kids and do crafts or do snacks or do teaching or do games, whatever it was, setting up, tearing down things. The whole thing could not be done. And so we were able to see how the church works through VBS. Because we saw that how we're going to walk by showing Christ, these children, we're going to teach them, and we're also going to show them by our actions and get involved. It was very fun. I had a blast. I mean, I really felt like I wanted to be Superman when we were done. But in the end, we did get the message across, which is Jesus is the superhero. But we didn't have to go on and on and on and on and prove to people who we were. We didn't have to go on and on and talk about how we were Christian and go over and over. We just simply showed it in the way that God wants us to show it, through love. But we have to know God and show God and continue to build up the church. Because this is what James is saying in chapter 2, verses 14. He said, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that faith save anyone? And he goes down to verse 18. He says, now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you do not have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Now in this passage, James is not just talking about saving faith. Because anyone can believe in a higher power. Anyone can believe in a God. You hear that a lot in society. Yeah, I believe in the afterlife. I believe that there's a heaven. I believe that everything's well. Some believe that you know, there's something that's in control, but it's not really in control. Other believes in a monotheistic type of mentality where there's one God. And so that's, you know, that's a lot of people think of that way. We don't want to offend anybody, things like that. But here's what James says on that. He says, you believe in God. That's great. But in that same passage, he says, even the demons believe in Jesus. They believe in God. They know who God is. Now show me that you believe. Show me by your good deeds that you follow God. This brings me to my first point, which says, know and show wherever you go. I hope you can remember that. No matter where we go in life, whether it be with our families, whether it be in our workplace, anywhere, we have to know God. We have to show God wherever we go. Abraham was an example of this. Abraham traveled many, many miles. He heard what God said and he did it. And through that journey, he learned and he also gained. He gained a lot of great things. But he also was tested as well. Abraham wanted a son. God promised it to him. The impossible took place. So Abraham has this son, and then God tests him. And he says, Abraham, I want you to go up to the top, and I want you to do a sacrifice, but I want your son to be the sacrifice. Now, I want to be honest with you. When I read that text the first time, I thought, what? I wonder if Abraham was thinking the same thing. But he did it in faith. He took his son to the top, and he knew that somehow, someway, through the actions and the good deeds that he's going to do for God, that this is going to be good somehow, someway. But it just doesn't really make sense. And so as crazy as this sounds, Abraham did exactly what God did. He began to prepare everything. He began to set everything up. And as it got closer and closer to the time, you know the tension built up, right? And so he's just about to put his son to death as a sacrifice, as God said to do. And the Bible says, just as Abraham raised the knife, an angel spoke to him and said, stop. You've passed the test. And Abraham looked over, and there was a ram that was caught in the thicket with his horns. And Abraham grabbed the ram and then did the sacrificial offering. You know, a lot of times in our lives, God has a plan. The ram was in the thicket. God has a plan. There's times in our lives where it doesn't make sense, but in that situation, it may be like this. God has a plan. And even when we're tested, even when it doesn't feel good, we have to know and show God, just as Abraham did. James used this very illustration in verse 21. He said, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. So, my question is, friends, you believe in Christ, but do you go out there and society knows that? What about your actions? Are you a changed person through Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Have you gone down this path? That's good. But I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of times where we just have to simply take action by what we do and how we live and what we do in life. People see that. They see you've changed. They see you're different. They see that what you're doing is different. Your life has been changed. You don't do these things anymore. You serve others. You serve God. You serve others. That is just the biggest impact, is talking to them and telling them that you're saved. You have to do both. Do you see what I'm saying here? Does all of this make sense? You have to have both whenever you're walking with Christ. Another example is Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. And in the Old Testament, the Israelites were going towards Jericho. Joshua sent two spies to check out the land before they went to the war. And the Bible says that these two spies needed a place to stay. And there was a lady named Rahab. She was a prostitute. And she took them in their house and protected them. Even when the people came and they began to investigate, she protected them. Now keep in mind, she was not really on their side, because the Israelites were going to come and invade. But you know what it says in the Old Testament? She said, I believe your God will conquer this. I believe your God's going to overtake it. I believe in your God. And she took action. James used this illustration, or this example as well, in verse 25. He wrote that Rahab the prostitute is another example of this. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid the messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Now, James is not approving of Rahab's current occupation, if you get where I'm getting at. But he's commending her faith and taking action, even when it wasn't popular in her hometown. There's times in our lives where we have to stand up for the Word of God. We have to stand up for our faith. We have to show God in our lives, even when it's not popular. Sometimes we have to take a stand on things. Peer pressure is big. We have friends that want to push us and pull us in different situations. Maybe try to separate us or pull us apart. To know and show God is not always easy. Wasn't easy for Rahab. Wasn't easy for Abraham. And it's not always easy for us. But whenever we do this, when we know and show God that way, it's an impact that is, it sticks to people. People remember those things. They remember how you handle situations in the good and in the bad. And so I want to challenge you today by simply saying this. You have to know God. You have to show God. Even when it is questionable, even when it's uncomfortable, and even when it's unpopular. You serve God first, not people first. I want to say that again. You serve God first, not the people first. You serve God first, not the government. You serve God first, not your own flesh and sinful desire. God first. You want to figure out what God's up to? Go to Him first. Don't go to other people. Don't go to other things. Don't try to think about yourself. We've been talking about this over and over again. How do we get wisdom? How do we persevere through trials? How do we receive pure joy? How do we gain perseverance, wisdom, patience? How do we produce spiritual fruit? How do we have love and joy and patience and kindness? How do we have gentleness to others? How do we show it? How do we have self-control? We know it. We know God. Now we got to show it in our personal lives and to others. So are you producing spiritual fruit? Or is your fruit bad? If you took a bite of your spiritual fruit, would it taste good or would it be pretty bitter? Is your tree healthy or does it have disease and it needs cleansing? Is your spiritual fruit producing great fruit or does it need some help? The great thing is, our God is a forgiving God. Our God's a faithful God, and our God can show us what He wants. Don't ever give up and forget what God can do. Simply this: know who God is, know what God wants, know God and who He is through His Word, through prayer. And show God in your personal life. Show God to others through what Jesus did when He walked this earth in flesh and bone. Serve Him, serve them. Serve Him, serve them.